Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Bruce Pierce in our next edition of our podcast entitled Women's Healthcare. Today, my special co-host is Dr. Asha Proctor, who's an OBGYN at Delaware Valley OBGYN and Infertility Group here in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Hello, Dr. Proctor.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm good. So, Dr. Proctor, tell us about yourself.
Well, I am 44. I told you my age.
How much do you weigh?
I'm definitely not telling you that one. And I've been an OB for about 14 years, a general OBGYN. I have two sons who are like 6.5 and 4.5. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about it.
Okay. So where'd you go to school?
I'm originally from Maryland. I went to undergrad at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And then I went to medical school at UNC Chapel Hill, Tar Heels. And then I did my residency at Carolina's Medical Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I moved to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
When? I think that was 2005. In 2005, and I've been at Delaware Valley since I started practicing.
Oh, and you're an OBGYN.
Yes, I'm a generalist OBGYN. Okay. Yes.
So, our topic today is women's mental health as it relates to their health care. Mm-hmm. So, there has been some mention that maybe we're overlooking this very important area of healthcare for women. Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I definitely feel like, you know, for many women, you know, they come to their, you know, primary OBGYN, you know, definitely, you know, for their physical health. And many times, like during that discussion, you know, mental health topics definitely become more prevalent just at different stages of our life. And I definitely feel, you know, sometimes, you know, OBGYNs, we're just not as equipped to deal with the mental health issues. And so then we're just trying to find, you know, resources in the community, you know, that will give women support, you know, for, you know, whether anxiety, depression, you know, postpartum issues that arise, even like, you know, menopausal issues that arise. So definitely, I feel like, you know, it's just something that, you know, if our patients come to us, you know, for the mental health aspect, I don't feel like we didn't really get, I guess, as much of the training, you know, during our residencies, you know, as we did for dealing with, you know, physical issues, delivering babies, you know, doing surgeries.
Did you get any training?
I'm going to go with no.
I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah, no. We didn't really get any training.
I mean, I'm a little older than you. I'm not going to state my age.
Your age.
But so I agree. I had zero training in this portion of what we do.
Yes.
So basically, it's kind of on the job
training.
Yeah. And in what we could do. So, and it sounds like what you mentioned, this kind of permeates all levels of healthcare, going from maybe adolescence to pregnancy to menopause. So this basically permeates everything we do.
I mean, definitely I see it more, you know, during pregnancy and postpartum. But definitely I've had, you know, young, you know, college age women coming to me, you know, whether for like different anxiety issues, you know, just trying to handle like different stressors in their relationships. And you know, sometimes I don't want to just feel like all I have in my like arsenal of treatment is just like prescribing a medication.
Right. So what have you done in your time and to, I guess, get yourself a background? So, or basically, what do you do? Let's say I'm a patient. I come in and I express these concerns. What do you do?
Well, you know, I think first to try to, you know, express to them, you know, one, that they're not alone, you know, there's nothing, you know, wrong with them. Because I think a lot of times, you know, it's hard for patients to like verbalize these issues, like that they're having problems with kind of, with depression or just being very anxious, definitely I'll try to get them resources in the community to different like psychologists and, you know, different centers that focus on mental health. But then the other aspect of it is like, okay, well, how does that get paid for?
You know? Right. Or not paid for.
Right. So.
Okay. So.
I can definitely say from like, and I definitely can say, you know, I didn't really, I feel like, get it, you know, until I, you know, had my own kids and then kind of could then get an understanding of, you know, what women go through, you know, postpartum.
It's not easy. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I would say it's much easier being an OBGYN than dealing with a newborn. So, and definitely I think, you know, for me, people always kept saying like, oh, you're a physician, you know, you kind of have it figured out or know what to do. And I'm like, I don't know what to do at all. I'm just kind of like, you know, figuring out as I go and just learning on the fly.
Right. So Let's talk about postpartum depression. It seems to be a hot topic. Mm-hmm. We do know in the United States that maternal mortality is on the rise. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to get into all aspects of that. Right. But a portion of that is from postpartum depression / suicide. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your experience with postpartum depression. Not necessarily personal, but although truth be told, we did speak before the recording.
You know, it's
a personal issue.
I can definitely say, well, one, you know, for myself, and I think this is something we're more commonly seeing now, you know. Many of our patients now maybe are like older moms, you know, over the age of 35, right?
Right.
And so my first child I had at 38, and it was a shock. You know, I could see like looking back on it, you know, like the first day or two, you're like, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, you know, this is great. And definitely I can say by the fourth day, because, you know, I was like trying to breastfeed and, you know, trying to make sure, you know, the baby was getting enough. But literally, if there could be something worse than colic, my son had that. I don't even know how you would describe it.
Super colic.
But he cried. If he wasn't sleeping, he was crying. And he cried constantly. And I remember before leaving the hospital and, you know, the nurses were wanting to take a picture with me because, you know, we all work together.
Right.
Like literally I was hysterically crying in the wheelchair as they were trying to wheel me out because my son Alex was like screaming at the top of his lungs. So it was like I definitely think, you know, I think sometimes in our society now I don't know whether with social media, you know, we glamorize pregnancy, having a baby. And I definitely think, you know, many times women can just be shocked with how hard it is.
So you have a unique perspective.
Oh, yes.
Not just being somebody who, I guess, treats this as a medical condition.
Right.
More of a it was personal. So tell me about your experience as a patient. What did you think maybe could have been done better?
Well, I mean, I definitely think, you know, my experience is a little unique because, of course, you know, I'm an OBGYN and I work with, you know, midwives. And so, you know, when I went into labor, well, I called my friend who is a midwife and she came over my house. And, you know, my husband at the time was like 3 hours away or 2.5 hours away. Remember, he was in Connecticut. So yes.
And he's still your husband.
He's still my husband, yeah.
Your husband at the time.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. And so, you know, we actually just labored at my house until he could get there. And so, you know, she had me like in the bathtub and on the birthing ball. So, you know, we were trying to.
Sounds glamorous.
It sounds very glamorous. Yes. And so then we, you know, we got to the hospital. And like, I definitely feel like at that point, you'd lose all track of time because I was like, okay, this should be happening soon.
Right.
And I think that was like 2 a.m. I can't even remember. But I didn't have my son till like 14 hours later. And then it ended up with a C-section.
Right.
So, you know, and I was okay with that. But definitely to say the next day, I think when the nurses got me up to like try to stand up, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I do this to women. Like, this is so painful. So, I mean, that was, you know. that was a learning experience.
Right.
but to say, to me, I felt like it was more of, it wasn't really the physical, it was more the emotional, you know, definitely. Right. And I can remember, like, I felt like I pretty much probably cried every day for like 2 months, two or three months.
Wow.
Yeah. But I didn't tell you guys that.
Well, that being said, a lot of people will not
they
tell
hide
their
it.
Providers. So,
right.
I mean, basically, you're just experience the same as all of our other patients.
Uh-huh.
Same thing. You don't want to, when you come in, we just want to take a picture and check your weight and blood pressure.
And just like, okay, you're okay. Everything's fine.
Right.
You're doing
and
well.
And even the patients, like sometimes, you know, when I see them, it'll be like the last thing they say in the way, oh, by the way.
Yeah, as you're trying to
I'm
kind
having
of,
a hard time.
Yes.
And even that, you have to ask. And now, you know, now we do screen for postpartum depression. We do the screening test. So it kind of takes the asking and telling.
It does. And also to say, I mean, I can remember, you know, being at home maybe a week postpartum and my friend Grace, the midwife, she was at the house and she could tell I was struggling.
Right.
So she did again the postpartum depression screen on me.
And how'd you do?
I think I failed it, but I only like mildly failed it because I don't think I was like as truthful as, you know, because
so even on the test,
I was like, just, you know, I was just not being completely like honest with myself of how I was doing and feeling.
Right.
So it was just, and I will, and I tell patients a lot of times, you know, that I can tell they're struggling. I remember my grandmother, who's 92 now. She came to visit me with my aunt to help me with the baby,
right,
even though she hadn't taken care of a baby in like 50 years. So
okay,
it was,
Grandma.
Thank you. It was like she tried to put the baby on his stomach. And I was like, you don't do that, Grandma. You put the baby on the back, you know. And I remember I was just, you know, he was just crying constantly. And I said to my grandmother, I was like, why do women do this? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, why did they have babies? I thought this was supposed to be enjoyable.
Right.
And literally, she looked at me like I had like five heads. And she said to me, she was like, Asha, this will be the hardest thing you will ever do in your life.
Uh-huh.
She was like, but it will be the most rewarding.
That's nice.
And I definitely, I really feel like I use that line a lot with my patients who are just, you know.
But that's the thing, nobody ever tells you that.
Nobody really, I mean, and also to say, I always joke with my patients now, like, if somebody really told you that it was this hard, would you have believed them?
You know? I'm going to say the answer is probably not, only because I did mention it maybe, but you didn't believe me.
And also to say,
not
to
that
say,
I would know, of course.
But to say, I definitely think for, you know, many women, it's just being able to be open about it and just say, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm, you know, just trying to kind of get through it. And, you know, just understanding that there's nothing wrong with them, you know, and it's not that they don't love their baby and want their baby, but, you know, just they're dealing with the ups and downs of this major life-changing event.
So do you think, so as I guess practitioners or even, so what do you think we should do? Do you think it's more that just the knowledge that it's not abnormal or there's nothing wrong with you? Or do you think there should be maybe more access to help or medication or what do you think?
You know, to me, I feel like, you know, many times, you know, the patients really aren't looking to take medication. They don't really want to take medication if they could avoid it. Sometimes I do feel like just, you know, like if you were able to do like talk therapy, you know, just whether speaking to a psychologist or doing some type of you know, group therapy and speaking with other women that are going through it, I think it's just very, you know, very helpful. And also to say, I think if they're patients, family members could be, you know, part of it as well to know, you know, that she may need, you know, more support from the husband, from other family members, you know, because I really definitely do believe it takes a village to raise a child. I'm a firm believer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So what do you do now? Now that you had this experience and you're now an OB, well, you're still an OBGYN provider. What did that experience make you change what you did before you lived through it?
You know, because I felt like before, you know, you're just giving them kind of the list of things, you know, like different names of patients they can, you know, call, different providers they can call to try to like reach out for appointments or help. But definitely for me now, and maybe this is why I get far behind with seeing patients sometimes, I definitely really just try to like spend extra time with that patient and just, you know, just trying to help them kind of talk through it and just be very like open about their feelings and just trying to, you know, support them so that they understand, you know, they're not alone and there's definitely nothing wrong with them. And I think just being able to like, and sometimes they'll come and see me like, you know, once every 2 weeks or whatever, just so we can kind of touch base more closely.
Well, that's great. Is there anything else you wanted to share with us? Not personally, but as an OBGYN. What about, okay, we mentioned postpartum depression. How about menopause-related
issues? I mean, I definitely feel like, you know, and I think maybe because as I'm getting older in the practice, you know, when you're coming out and you're like 30, you don't really understand, you know, when women are complaining about whether hot flashes, libido issues, weight gain, you know, you kind of say, oh, do this, do that. You can try this, try that. But you don't really, you know, you don't really understand how much that is impacting their lives. And definitely I feel like now that I've kind of aged with my patients, you know, it's something that I feel like I've just become like very sensitive to. And, you know, definitely talking about like different ways to just improve our overall health and just making yourself feel better. But yes, and to tell them, and there are many women that the idea of going through menopause, and especially in a society where youth and women is praised, it's a transition and trying to help women through that transition that they're still, you know, vital, attractive women. Yes.
That is wonderful. Well, I think this was a great conversation. And of course, we could go into much more detail on each of these subjects, and maybe we will on another podcast, but our time is running out. So thank you, Dr. Asha Proctor.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Pierce.
Anytime.